Today is September 7th, 2022. Current Bitcoin price is $19,347.
Welcome to the BitByte podcast, your source for news and information about Bitcoin and the cryptocurrency space. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not financial advice.
What's going on, Rick?
Oh, another day.
How are you?
Another loss in Bitcoin.
You know. How are you on this grand short week?
Well, you know, when you miss Monday from work, it just Tuesday just feels that much worse. It's like an extra worse Monday.
Yeah. You know, and I've always felt like the 4-day weeks are worse than 5-day weeks. Like whenever it's a holiday like that. And I think it's because we try and cram just as much work into the 4-day as what we do on the 5-day.
I can get behind that because that's generally how it goes.
Right? Because you're playing catch up for whatever you missed. That's how I feel about it anyways. We saw a dip in Bitcoin's price. I think when we recorded on Sunday, where were we at? That was on Monday, huh? So that was the 6th.
It was about 19.7, if I remember correctly.
And we had actually closed on Sunday. We had actually popped back up in the 20s, dropped way down on Tuesday. I think we had gotten down to right around, it was 18-something. Like, that was the lowest we'd been in a while. I'm trying to get that. It's right on that cursor area. There we go. It looks like it was like 18,532. And ever since then, I mean, we've kind of rebounded back a little bit. I mean, we still have not hit that low that we hit back in June, but we're not far from it. That low in June still, from what I'm seeing here, looks like it's like that right below that $17,000 mark. And it was only there for a moment. Like, I don't think that was long-lived. And then it rebounded
Yeah, it was a quick bounce back.
Yeah.
But it's kind of scary because we're taking a longer, slower dip. So I think if we do cross that, it's not going to necessarily rebound like last time.
Yeah, it's interesting to see the momentum play. I mean, I figured there would be a lot of positive momentum in the cryptocurrency space, especially with the merge coming for Ethereum here shortly, which, I mean, at some point we're probably gonna have to do a podcast and talk about that here relatively soon, because I think that update is supposed to happen pretty quick. But I think a lot of people are fearful about that too. Not that I don't think that Vitalik and his team have done a bad job of making sure they're prepared for this, but that's a lot of money on the line if they happen to mess that up.
Yeah. No, that's, it's kind of a risky proposition. I mean, if things go badly, I mean, if they do mess it up, I mean, Ethereum could possibly never recover.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. I mean, it's hard to say where that's going to go. Last episode, too, we talked about the reports that were due for Biden's executive order. I have not seen a whole lot. I think you had said you had seen something on it.
They were just talking about, I just saw something, they were briefly talking about the central bank digital currencies is what they were looking at more. They weren't talking about much else. So, and it was more like a tweet talking about what they're saying. So, if you look at the source, it's not exactly top-notch quality. I'll see where, you know, I'm still kind of waiting with bated breath. We'll see what the actual news will be, you know, when they release their report.
Yeah.
So not much on that. The other thing I saw was that it seems that the news is saying, or the sources in the Federal Reserve are saying that, it looks like the Federal Reserve is going to raise interest rates by 75 basis points again.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, and that's, that's interesting. Coming from coming from Samuel Quorum from Getty Images, the Fed's September FOMC meeting will produce one more outside interest rate hike, according to J.P. Morgan. That's where that's coming from. And the bank expects the Fed to raise rates by 75 basis points in September before pivoting. We'll see. We shall see. I don't know how much I trust that or believe that. I'll believe it when I see it. And I'm really curious. We kind of talked a little bit about the CPI numbers, you know, where we think they're going to come out. So it's a guessing game, man. I mean, and talking about that, like when we look at that, and we've talked about housing a few times on here. And I mean, when you see six straight months of house declines in price, you know, that's basically what they call a housing recession. And we officially hit that in July. Increased interest rates and increasing construction costs were the big drivers behind that. So it's hard to justify buying a house at this point. Like, if you haven't bought one already, because I think that was also, I mean, we know that there was a lot of institutional buyers that were buying up properties, right? Single family home type of things.
Yeah.
We talked about that with BlackRock.
BlackRock, yeah.
I think the other thing, too, is that I think a lot of people, during the lockdowns, especially in some of your more metropolitan areas, they probably got so sick of being stuck in apartments. They're like, if we're going to buy, we got to buy now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they had to make that move. They were just like, we can't stand each other in this house anymore.
Absolutely. Well, the thing that's also kind of funny is, I don't know if you've seen some of the news where, like, Bank of America and stuff is starting to give out loans on to Latino and Black people of color, let's just call them that, who don't have any money for a down payment, and you know, they're giving them lower interest rates. But it's kind of weird that they're doing this right at the peak of what appears to be the collapse of the housing market. So I don't know if they're necessarily doing them any favors.
Yeah, I wonder what the program looks like. I mean, I'm sure there's still going to have to be some sort of a PMI, you know, the mortgage interest or the mortgage insurance for the people paying.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they are doing them any favors. And as long as they're locking the interest rates, because that was the scary thing when they had those variable rates, right?
Yep.
And you bought the house, pretty good interest rate, and then all of a sudden it's flying. Like, no, I want them locked in. Let's not play around. I want to know exactly what I'm going to be paying month to month. So
yeah, well, that's how people were able to afford, you know, several different houses, and you know, the rate was pretty reasonable, and then all of a sudden, when interest rates spiked out of nowhere, you know, you're paying almost double what you were the month before.
Yeah.
And then on several houses, you know, that it's pretty crazy. I mean, The Big Short is kind of a fascinating story and how that happened. So, yeah.
CPI numbers are set to come out September 13th. So we'll have to see. And that's going to be for August, right?
Yes.
That'll be interesting to see how that's going to play out and what kind of effect that's going to have. Curious. And then on a slightly positive note, negative note, I don't know how we want to put it, El Salvador's Bitcoin anniversary is today.
Well, I think it's fairly positive. Granted, the value of Bitcoin has basically plummeted since they went that direction, but they've still managed to hang on, and they're the first.
They are the first. First country in the world to truly adopt Bitcoin. You know, Nayib Bukele, like, the big thing was he was saying it was going to benefit 70% of the population, which had no access to local banking services, which, I mean, we've talked about that before. The rails are built into the system. They bought, you know, all the Bitcoin basically that they have purchased is now below water. Like, they're below where they bought it at.
Yeah.
They've bought 2,381 BTC so far, which is worth $62 million less than what it was when they paid for it. That's pretty harsh. So here's an interesting thing. Looking at this article here, and this article is coming from, I think it's coming from CoinDesk. No, this is Cointelegraph. They're saying that El Salvador's Minister of Finance, Alejandro Zelaya, previously emphasized that despite dropping prices, the country didn't experience any losses on its BTC purchases because they did not sell the coins. The Salvadorian government has also repeatedly delayed its Bitcoin bond project, citing unfavorable market conditions and geopolitical issues, which we had talked about before, too, because they were supposed to have their volcano bonds, right?
Yes.
And they kind of pushed that off until they can get something a little bit more, well, really, they have no choice. They might as well wait for the bull run to begin again, right? There's no reason to force it.
Absolutely. I mean, if you try and force it now, you're just going to, I don't know, they're going to look like fools. So just wait a little while. I mean, with the general trajectory of Bitcoin, it does the big jumps and then some retracement, then big jump again. So just wait a little while until it's the right time.
Yeah. Yeah. There's nothing to be pushing on that. Another interesting little fact here, according to the El Salvadorian Central Reserve Bank, Salvadorians living abroad sent more than 50 million in remittances from January to May 2022. The adoption of Bitcoin in the Salvadorian government-backed Chivo wallet also contributed to a 400% increase in Lightning Network transactions in 2022. And I also understand that their tourism for the first half of 2022 is up 83% after the Bitcoin adoption took place.
That's pretty impressive, actually.
Yeah, I think really, like, with a small scale country like that, it really works as a good incubator, right? To test out, like, what these things will look like on a broader scale once we start to roll them out elsewhere.
Yep, and it'll be kind of interesting if they're able to attract, you know, some young, talented people there, what kind of benefits they'll see from that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, if they can draw a talent pool there, I've never been to El Salvador. I don't know what it's like. You and I have had discussions. I think Nayib Bukele is actually going to have it's in Bitcoin Magazine. He's going to have an interview, and from what I understand, it's entitled "Don't Drink the Elite's Kool-Aid." So he's going to talk about the money problems of the world and just basically don't get fooled by what they tell you. That guy's really, he wants to get assassinated is what I'm pretty sure is what's going on. But yeah, so we've got CPI numbers coming in 6 more days after today. Happy Bitcoin anniversary to El Salvador. Bitcoin price is not looking so hot right now, but what are you going to do?
Just wait it out. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Continue dollar cost averaging if you're looking at getting into some Bitcoin. Not financial advice.
Definitely not financial advice, but yeah. Now's as good a time that we've seen in a while to start stacking it, though I think the price is going to continue to drop for a bit.
Yeah.
How low it gets, I don't know. But that's what I've been saying for a long time. It looks like I'm really a perma bear on every other market, and I think it's going to affect the Bitcoin market. It's just whether we see it rebound quicker than the other markets. That's what I'm counting on.
Yeah. I don't know. I do agree with you. I do think I don't see we'll see a real return to the Bitcoin crazy prices again until after the Fed shifts its position, if it can shift its position, or if it starts to put the economy in a debt spiral and has to print money to save its life, then I think Bitcoin can turn around. Those are the scenarios that I'm seeing where Bitcoin's really going to skyrocket. But until that time comes, or they feel like they beat inflation, that's where it's going to come down to. I did pull up, I was kind of curious what the ruble was doing, and right now it's at basically 1.5 cent to every dollar. I'm just going to look at the chart and see what it looks like, because we've been talking about Russia a lot lately. And what's funny is, oh my God, that chart, it looks ridiculous. Like, it is, that's not manipulated at all. It keeps, like, the volume graph, like, is just, like, locked. Like, it's the same no matter what. So where are we going? Let's see, March. Right, was it February or March? We're never... Oh, no, this has got to be it. March 7th, 2022. They were down to... How far did that go down? Looks like about... Less... It was a sixth of a cent. I don't know. Was that tenths, hundredths, thousandths, a thousandth, or six thousandths of a cent back in March? And since then, it did rally to a high of... Where did we get? Almost back to a penny. Almost 2 cents for every ruble. And right now it's riding at one and a half cent for a ruble. So they've done just fine, it seems like.
Yeah, they're not doing too bad.
No.
And their energy costs aren't through the roof. So.
Yeah. And one American dollar right now still is 6.96 Chinese yuan.
Absolutely. And I'm looking at kind of what's happening geopolitically with Europe. I've mentioned it a few times now with the energy crisis that they're having there. And it looks like we're not too far behind them in going that route. So I'm going to be looking at that pretty closely and giving my thoughts on that here soon. But if we do have some type of energy cost spike, what do you think that's going to do to the price of Bitcoin?
I mean, the big thing, like, with a lot of the people, so there's always the big question, right? Like, Bitcoin could really drive renewable energies. I mean, because really you want your electricity the cheapest way possible, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the people that are currently mining, they're already in locations where they either get really cheap solar, I mean, electricity in general, whatever you can do to make it cheaper. If the cost of mining Bitcoin continues to increase without the price going up, you're going to see a lot of miners shut down. However, I think there'll still be enough to keep the network secure. But that's an interesting question. I mean, because really what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to flood the market with Bitcoin to sell the Bitcoin to be able to pay for the electricity costs, right?
Yep.
And that's really what that breaks down to. So, I mean, which is a good thing and a bad thing. For people that don't have Bitcoin, it keeps Bitcoin from being consolidated with these miners that are producing it, and it gives people a chance to buy it, hopefully at a cheap price. Otherwise, it's going to be a crazy implosion type of thing. But who knows? Bitcoin has never really it has in some way reacted to its cost, its production cost, but it never seems to be a factor within the free market itself.
Does that
make sense?
Yeah, not yet. I'm just wondering if we might see a possibility of that soon.
It's definitely possible.
Yeah.
I don't know what that will look like. Man. Then I look at that gold chart and it makes me sad. If you bought gold in August 1st of 2011 or 2011, your price of gold would be exactly the same as it is today. So good job, gold bugs. No.
Well, it's even worse if you would have bought it like in 2008, 2009, somewhere in there. That's when it peaked out at like $2,200 per ounce. And then it crashed right down to $1,200 or something like that shortly afterwards. So,
yeah. That's tough. No, I mean, the one thing I'll say about gold is it is a steady eddy, and I still would rather have gold than dollars. So, and Bitcoin's still unproven, so we got to wait and see. I mean, to me, it's proven itself, but we got to wait and see what it does for the rest of the world. So, interesting to see. All right, man. If not before, I'm sure we'll record again Sunday. We'll see what the weekly close does. If we can get back above 20 again, or if we're going to stay... Are we going to stay in this range where we're at now and just kind of slowly grind our way forward, or are we going to drop? I don't know. That's a big question.
Yeah. Well, we're just waiting on news from, you know, the Biden administration and then the actual CPI and Federal Reserve interest rates. That's really what we're waiting on. Until then, we're just kind of, everyone's holding their breath, basically.
Yeah. And you see the same thing within the stock market and everything else. So, eggshells, we will wait and see. Cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you check us on the next one, and we will talk to you soon.
Alrighty. Bye.